From the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all those days, and then when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the tempter. Now, so far, we have been to Nazareth and Bethlehem and Egypt, up to Jerusalem a few times, and then last Sunday, we were at the Jordan River, where Jesus was being baptized. And you may recall, as he was coming out of the water soaking wet, he was praying. And so here's Jesus, Son of God, coming out of the water praying. And then he heard the voice of the Heavenly Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then you have the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven to the newly baptized in the form of a dove. There was a high water mark in the life of Jesus. Quit laughing, Deborah. No, it was a high mark. And it's interesting how often in life, when there is a high moment, guess what comes next? A low moment, like a roller coaster. I learned that the hard way several times, where something crazy will happen and this and that, and I'll think, what's going on with this? And I'll think, because I had something really special happen a few days before, and it's like the force of evil come after you a few days later to come get you. You got to be careful about those high moments on top of that mountain, because somebody is waiting for you. And so here's Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the Holy Spirit came down to him in his baptism. So he leaves the Jordan River, and he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, doesn't that sound strange that we get led into the wilderness? But think about that 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm talks about, "You lead me on paths of righteousness." And yet that same Psalm talks about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Sometimes old paths of righteousness will take us into some dark and evil places. And so here's Jesus in the wilderness. And he was there, according to Matthew's gospel, for 40 days. Now, 40 is a number of judgment. And then about Noah, rain 40 days, 40 nights. The people in Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years. So once again, you see Jesus, he went to Egypt, went to Jordan River, now he's in the wilderness. You see kind of this reenactment of the people of Israel. And guess who shows up for a visit? The devil will tempt him. Now, the Hebrew word for tempter is Satan. So on your translations, your Bible, like when you read in the book of Job, it may say the Satan came to him, or the tempter, or sometimes say Satan the tempter, or the tempter Satan. You know, they're all trying to show you that Hebrew name word Satan means tempter. You know, So it's both kind of like a name and a title in our culture. He shows up. No, Satan means accuser, excuse me, accuser. And he's tempting Jesus to do something. And then at the end of 40 days, Jesus was famished. And so the devil gives him three tests. The first one, he says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. In other words, Jesus, I want you to prove your credentials. Turn this rock into a loaf of bread. Now, I remember back in the 80s, there was a song that came out, had a bunch of singers, called We Are the World. Remember that? And Central sung that song about 2 years ago, and I was listening to the lyrics. And Willie Nelson has a line about, as God has shown us, about turn stone to bread. And I thought, dude, what? So I went back and read it, and I thought, first of all, Michael Jackson wrote the song. That should tell you everything you need to know. But two, I thought, I think he got a little confused about that. It wasn't God talking about turning stones into bread. It was the devil talking about stones into bread. Now, what was wrong with that? Because, I mean, Jesus turned water into wine sometime later, so what's the difference between them selling the bread? And as C.S. Lewis pointed out in his book, Miracles, you know, water will turn to wine. When the rains come down onto the vineyards, waters the crops, the waters crops grow, you get the grapes, you harvest the grapes, you crush them, ferment them, you have wine. There's a natural line between water and wine. Now, as any farmer will tell you, stones do not become bread. What do farmers do with their crop fields? They're always trying to get rid of the rocks and stones. They have nothing to do with growing crops. They might use them to build a wall and a fence to protect the crops. And so what Satan was doing here, he was wanting Jesus to misabuse his divine powers. Because remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. So Jesus took a little shortcut and turned the stone into bread. And so Jesus quotes from the scriptures. It is written, one does not live by bread alone. Now, Matthew Gospel quotes the rest by saying, but no, by the word of God. Well, the devil strikes out, so he tries another one. So the devil leads them up and show them in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. That'd be like to a reader back then, they'd probably think, well, that'd be the Roman Empire, and their enemies next door, the Parthenian Empire, modern-day Iran. Israel was on the border of that. And then Satan says to him, to you I will give you their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And I've heard some folks say, well, the devil was just lying about this. But, you know, when you read the book of Daniel, Daniel talks about how there is this heavenly conflict that does regard nations. Remember, Daniel was praying about a vision, and then Michael the Archangel came down and said, well, we sent some guys earlier to talk to you, Daniel, but there was these demonic forces here in Babylon that was preventing them, so I came down to tell you about this vision. And at the same time, they don't talk about how God sits kings upon the throne and remove kings. And I think anyone who looks at world history, especially World War II, you can't deny that in our global politics, there have been some very demonic forces of evil at work. So I don't think this is just smoke in the wind here. No, Jesus at one point, and John Gospel said, the prince of this world is coming and I must leave, for I have nothing to do with him. Satan, if you will, is the false king, the untrue king, who caused havoc in our society. And he's making the deal with Jesus. If you worship me, I will set events in motion to make you a king of all these kingdoms. And I kind of think if he had gone with that Satan would, in one sense, held up his end of the bargain. Think about way back to Genesis chapter 3. What did the snake tell Eve about that fruit? Oh, you won't die. For God doth know the day you eat that fruit, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like him, knowing both good and evil. And Satan, on the surface, told the truth. I mean, she didn't drop dead. She lived on, according to Genesis, 900-some years, like Adam did, probably. And then God himself says, behold, man's come like us. He knows both good and evil. But, Satan never tells you the whole story, does he? The fact is that Eve and Adam both died spiritually, and that connection was cut off from God. And I suspect what would happen with this situation if Jesus had given in to this, that Jesus would go on and become a great warrior king, and he would have been the famous person in the history books, and then he would have died, been buried, and he'd be just one more name, another Julius Caesar, another Nebuchadnezzar. And they're Muhammad. He'd just been one more name. And Jesus, though, doesn't fall for this. Again, he quotes the scripture and says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Well, that's strike two. All right, Satan, you got one more chance. So then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone. Now, where have you heard that before? You just heard it because Herb led you reading that. That comes from Psalms 91. That's why I picked that psalm this Sunday. The devil thought, all right, Jesus, you're going to quote the scripture to me. I'll give you some scripture. Psalms 91. The pastor just said it was God's divine protection plan. It says that God will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands, they will bear you up so you're not dash your foot against a stone. Okay. Now, just a little while ago, Deborah, you were talking about how your mom was in a terrible car wreck. She didn't need to be in one with all that bone cancer she'd been fighting. But she came out unscathed. She had some divine protection that night. Thank God. Her and your brother. And that's part about dashing your foot against a stone. If you've been hiking a lot like I have, you know what that means. That's mean when you slip and fall and you think, oh, Lord, no. I claimed that problem several times up around Bobber Falls and G Creeks and other places. You walk around, put your foot down, and what you think is solid ground, and it gives out on you, okay? And so Satan says, Jesus, just jump off. After all, God promised that he would send his angels to come and protect you in case your foot slides against a stone. And Jesus doesn't follow this. He says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. While it is true that God offers a divine protection plan, talk about how his angels concerning you will protect you. When you slap against a stone, they come lift you up. And Psalm 34 talks about those who fear the Lord, the angels encompass around them. But we don't use that as an excuse to go out and do stupid stuff. In other words, you don't go out, Clint, and go bungee jump without a cord. And say, well, the pastor said the angels come take care of me. No, I didn't say that. And I remember one time I was at the Walmart in the Sweetwater walking in. And this is back when it was pretty much brand new. And there were some young African-American gentlemen out in the front there hanging out. And they approached me and asked me if I want to buy their CD. Okay. And I said, well, what kind of CD is this? And they're talking about it. I said, well, it doesn't have a bunch of cussing on anything. Well, I got some. I said, guys, I can't do that. And I said, it doesn't have anything about drug use. And he goes, well, a little bit. I said, well, guys, I can't do that either. And I said, I'm a high school librarian, and I've been telling kids not to use drugs. I said, now how'd that work if I'm listening to a CD that talks about drug use? And then one of them says, well, hey, man, the way I see it, it's all natural. Wasn't natural, God wouldn't want us to use it. And I said, it's natural. I said, like rattlesnakes. And then kind of took him by pause, and he looked at his buddy and said, well, I said, he's got a point. And I thought, yeah, that's not my first rodeo. I've heard that from a lot of folks, especially the young folks, you know. But God didn't want to use it. He wouldn't have made it. And, well, I mean, God made a lot of things. I mean, he made rattlesnakes, great white sharks, lightning. No, do you go around handling rattlesnakes? Can you imagine if I came here one more and put a big old rattlesnake in the box? Boy, it would clear out, wouldn't it? No, we don't do that. Why? We don't put God to a foolish test. This is something like this high school. No offense to the high school folks, but, you know, like a little double dog dare. I dare you, you know. Now, if you're a real man, you know, you're really tough, do this. No, we don't do that to God. We don't put God in some foolish test. It's one thing when we find ourselves in a situation like a car wreck or on the mountain, you know, or in the hospital somewhere, and we ask for God's divine protection. That's one thing. But we don't purposely go out and put ourselves in a situation like that and then ask God to bail us out. He probably won't do it. He'll probably let you fall and hurt yourself, and then you have lost time in the hospital to think and pray about it. You know, you don't put God to the test. And isn't it interesting how the devil, he even used scripture to pull this off? Y'all be careful when you talk to folks and they start quoting scripture. Make sure they tell you the whole story. You can turn on TV right now, there's probably somebody trying to get your money, and they quote some scripture to you. You need to be careful about that. Just because somebody walks around with the Bible and quote a verse or two doesn't mean they're telling you the truth. You need wisdom. And Jesus didn't fall for it. He said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then verse 13, when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. In other words, this would happen over and over and over again. The devil would show up unannounced and tempt Jesus. And may recall later on Luke's gospel, the Last Supper, Jesus tells Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, no, Satan's been asking for you. In other words, me and Satan been talking, your name came up. So it'd be a mistake to think that the devil and Jesus just met this one time, had a showdown, that's the end of the story. I suspect they met many times during his ministry. So what are we to make of this? What about us? I doubt most of us are on the radar screen of the devil himself. We're probably low fish. But I say he probably has some of his little workers to come after us. What do we do? Well, James, he wrote his letter, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, and resist the devil, and he shall flee. Oh, the devil will flee if I resist, yeah. I know many of you remember old Flip Wilson on TV used to have that saying, the devil made me do it. Mm-mm-mm. That's a cop-out. The devil did not make you do it. He came along, gave you an ideal, and you went along with the ride, and then you did it. You had your free will. And you may recall also how James talks about how that none of us have been tempted to a point where we were overwhelmed. God doesn't allow that to be unfair. And then sometimes folks will say, well, you don't know how strong temptation is. That's why I give in. No, honey, you don't know how strong temptation is until you defeat it. Now, C.S. Lewis talked about only a general who wins the battle knows how strong the enemy really was. When you just roll over and give in to the devil, you don't know how strong the temptation was. You didn't even try. And then the other question is, why did Jesus go through temptation? Remember last Sunday when I talked about how Jesus was baptized not because he needed it? He didn't sin, but he did it for us. Well, listen to these words from the book of Hebrews. Since we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has gone to heaven, let us hold on to the faith we have. For our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way that we are. Okay, that's about being fully human. Being human means you were tempted. But did not sin. That's where that full divine part comes in at. Being human means you're being tempted. Being divine, though, means you don't sin. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne, where there is grace. And there we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. The reason Jesus went through temptation and allowed it was that he wanted to experience what was to be human for our sake. I think about these songs I picked out this morning. At the beginning, we talk about tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder. And what's the solution? That sweet hour of prayer. And oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. When the devil comes after you, you got to resist and draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And then here in a moment, talk about stand by me. It talks the verse about how when the forces of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. So how do we handle the devil? Well, number one, like Jesus, you know your Bible. And when he tells you that craziness, you need to be able to quote the scripture back to him and tell him how like it is. And then you need to be like Jesus. When he was in the wilderness, he was fasting and praying. You need to be in prayer. Why? Because our high priest understands our weakness. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne where there is grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. When you're facing temptation, don't turn to the devil. Turn to Jesus, our high priest. And there at the throne of God, we will find the mercy and grace when we need it. Thanks be to God. Amen.